In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
By the late 90s, Gwen Shamblin had become a mainstay on the TV talk show circuit.
Her extreme religious-based weight loss philosophy was fascinating to people all over America, and she enjoyed a meteoric rise to fame.
She used her clout to even found her own church, with churches all over the United States and beyond.
However, reports started surfacing of abuse from within her followers and the extreme control Shamblin exerted over them in a cult-like fashion.
How did a weight loss guru manage to convince so many people to fall under her control?
Betches Media presents Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back, everybody, to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. You know, we're your partners, Wine Crime Time. We all made it through the Instagram outage from forever ago. I feel stronger for it.
I know, we emerged on the other side. That was a weird day, but like nothing for me changed because I was constantly opening and closing Instagram, but this time it was just for a different purpose.
No, yeah, I realized I just went to Facebook to make fun of people I went to high school with. So it really just kind of...
Twitter.
Oh, no, Facebook was there too. Twitter, yeah, Twitter. And
that was a good time.
People were Snapchatting me for the first time in a minute too. It felt very weird.
That is weird. That's a little desperate, I will say.
Unsoothed. I was unsoothed by it. And it's also kind of interesting because, well, Instagram was crazy this week, but also like cases and stuff being talked about this week are weird. So it's kind of, this is almost giving me hybrid episode vibes because I was like, I don't want to call the second half of this an update because we're unpacking a woman, but like we're all watching at the same time. But there was a bigger reveal that kind of just came through this week. Maybe, Sarah.
About...
The
cult?
No, about
the Zodiac.
The Zodiac killer.
Oh, yes. Okay. So
and it makes sense that Mercury is in retrograde while Zodiac killer may be being found.
Which, there we go.
I mean,
oh my God, we cracked it wide open.
You never know.
My God, it's so true. Yeah. So I feel like if you all saw headlines and we posted about it on Instagram, Not Another True Crime, that the Zodiac killer has been identified. Now, this is like slightly misleading. Mm-hmm. Don't get too excited, but there is a lead perhaps.
It's sort of giving me when someone is on after a third date, they're like, I found the one. And I'm like, I have the confetti and the champagne ready, but I also have it in the freezer to continue chilling. You know what I mean? Or not in the
that
in the freezer.
It's like every bald guy who looked like Brian Laundrie. Just kidding.
Yeah, no, truly.
But I can't believe that they still have not found him. It's actually really, it's kind of depressing how like plugged in everybody seemed to be. And now it's really dropped off. Like the attention has completely waned.
Really shows just how the course of public opinion and consumption.
Attention.
Yeah.
It's kind of nuts. But so the Zodiac killer, basically the update came from this team of investigators called the Case Breakers, which like I want to join. That sounds cool.
I'm obsessed.
The Case Breakers. Yeah. So they're comprised of 40 former law enforcement officers and they've been kind of like working on this case. I think they also have examined D.B. Cooper and some other cold cases. So on Wednesday, they came forward saying they identified who they think is the Zodiac killer, or rather was, because they believe it was a man by the name of Gary Francis Post who died in 2018. So they say they examined forensics and photos in Post's dark room. And look, I'm going to say it. Anybody who has a dark room, I'm already suspicious.
Because I want to be like, did you just not pay your electric bill? Or is this actually like you have a place where you're dipping photos in there?
That's what they did. But I'm like,
why do you
I don't know.
And also, how is...
You guys know about iPhones?
I know dark rooms just give me major like high school energy. And I'm just like, why? How do you just have this randomly chilling in your basement?
That is so true. Yeah. And how do you have the room?
Oh, brag. That's how you know.
Oh, seriously. Oh, you have an extra bathroom? Wow.
That's how you know they're not in the New York area.
So true. But so they examine these photos. They also say they found scars on Post's forehead that match scars on the sketch of the Zodiac. Now, listen, I've looked at that sketch a million times. It's saved on my phone. Those look like forehead wrinkles to me.
Okay. I feel you. I'm with you on that.
Right? I mean, so I don't know. I mean, maybe they were supposed to be scars, but it's like, that's any of us past the age of 25. Your skin stops making collagen.
Yeah. And also, all I can think of right now is that song, and these scars remind. I like, you know what I mean? I'm really back in 2006 today, guys. I don't know what to tell you.
The past is real.
The past is real.
The past is real. And the past, I guess, is coming back.
Honestly.
To sort of haunt us.
But I know I was not so, that part didn't totally convince me, the forehead moment.
No, the forehead moment didn't. They also say that they deciphered letters that reveal him as the killer. Like, it has something to do with anagrams. And basically, you had to already, like, know his name. It's kind of like Jeopardy, where, like, they give you a clue in the question, but you have to know, or in the answer, but you have to know what it is already. But, like, you had to know his name in order to decipher the anagram.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They didn't really, like, provide an example.
No, it's very, be sure to drink your Ovaltine. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
A Christmas Story?
I've never seen it.
I mean, okay. Well, I know. Well, the way we were in A Christmas Story, I can't wait for our double feature with me or Ray watching my favorite movies.
Oh my God. That's amazing. But so then in addition, I think they kind of like tracked his whereabouts. You know, he was in California. They also believe that he killed a woman named Sherry Jo Bates on October 31st, 1966 in Riverside, California, which was 2 years before the first official Zodiac killing. So Bates was found dead in an alleyway on Riverside City College campus. And in a year later, in 1967, police got a handwritten letter that led them to believe Sherry was killed by the Zodiac killer, but it was all kind of a hoax. In 2016, investigators got an anonymous typed letter from the person who says they wrote that first letter and just saying that it was a joke. And they said they weren't the Zodiac killer. They didn't kill Sherry Jo. Like, they just wanted attention. I don't know.
And
the Zodiac killer has never been officially linked to Bates's murder. This is just this group's theory. The Riverside Police Department Homicide Cold Case Unit told Fox News, our Homicide Cold Case Unit has determined the murder of Sherry Jo Bates in 1966 is not related to the Zodiac Killer, adding the Sherry Jo Bates case remains an open investigation and we do not have any details to release at this time. So they're just kind of like, who knows?
It's a lot of that.
Yeah. And also in 2020, I don't know if you guys remember this, there was another update in the Zodiac Killer case. A team of code breakers basically decoded one of his ciphers, which read, I hope you are having lots of fun in trying to catch me. I am not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise all the sooner because I now have enough slaves to work for me.
Okay.
Bizarre. I'm just like, I don't see how that really helps us. We know the guy's a sadist.
That's exactly. We get nothing from that besides the fact that I know there's other types of breakers besides case breakers. What happened to icebreakers?
Right? Icebreakers.
And I'm talking about the gum that the Duff sisters promoted together once.
Like it's still kicking in your grocery store aisles.
Yeah.
I feel like it is. But so the San Francisco Police Department says it can't speak about the Gary Post theory because it can't comment on an active investigation. The case breakers also spoke to some witnesses, one of whom, a man by the name of Hans Smith, said that he spent a decade basically hiding a whistleblower who claimed to have escaped a criminal posse that Post was in charge of. And honestly, I wish I had more information than this because it sounds really convoluted, but the truth of the matter is I simply don't. Like, I got big Sons of Sam energy from this. Like, this guy was a ringleader of this, honestly, like, criminal enterprise, I suppose, allegedly. And so this whistleblower, like, said that he watched Gary bury murder weapons in the woods. And then this other woman who was in a common law marriage with his son said that she was, like, harassed by this posse, but like,
and I'm curious about the posse.
I'm curious about the posse. I'm like, so is it many Zodiac killers? I mean, it could be.
That would be very annoying to me, yeah. But it could be.
That would be annoying. So I don't know. It could be this guy. He could be dead. And I saw this tweet that was just like, if this guy only died in 2018, like, think of what he saw. Like, they were like, who did he vote for in the 2016 election and like other ridiculous things.
I mean, that would be very, yeah.
Like, what did he think of skirts over jeans?
Oh, God. Yeah. Has he watched Squid Game yet?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, no, because he died in 2018.
Squid Game came out in 20. Well, it was created in 2010. But it just never saw the light of day. So who knows?
Imagine he's just like somehow a filmmaker and like. I don't know. Did he see the movie Zodiac?
The only thing that would make sense is if somehow he or they were an executive producer of Squid Game. I just would be like, that tracks to the way this world is going.
I want him to be like a consultant on Zodiac.
That would have fucked me. Oh my God, that'd be really a mind fuck. That'd be so crazy. Okay.
He saw it in the theaters and was like, can you get a load of this? Like,
like you had me played by who? Yeah. I mean, so
yeah.
That's all the updates for that. But another, I don't want to say Kate, another person who is really taking the public by storm. This, I feel like storm isn't the perfect word to use for that, but is in leading the cultural conversation as of right now.
I'm like, well, she's from beyond the grave.
She's
dead too.
That's second segment, yeah, she's dead too. We are, of course, talking about Gwen Shamblin Lara, who is who's the focal point of the new HBO documentary or the miniseries, The Way Down, God Greet. Why did I say I said like grits?
It's a tongue twister.
It really is. Red leather, yellow leather. God, literally. Greed, and the cult of Gwen Shamblin.
I have to say, this makes no sense. And this is going to make me sound stupid. So why am I saying it? But seeing Gwen Shamblin Lara, like my brain always goes to Shangri-La. And I'm like, why does it do that? And what is his name? That's part of her cult of personality is like she has this name that conjures up this like this otherworldly reference.
I know that's kind of her entire being is just otherworldly. You know what they say, the higher the hair, the more cult secrets you can just put in it.
That and the closer to Jesus. Everybody's been saying that in our DMs, which like I agree, but it is really kind of sad to watch someone who like started off as like a very nice, like, or like cute, like normal looking woman, and then just like become this Skeletor with huge hair.
I know. And also
like,
just kind of
comical and bad lip liner that didn't match.
Oh, none of it matched. And then also like saying stuff that I'm like, do you know what you're saying?
Makes no sense.
I know. So I didn't get that. And also, wait, Sarah, I don't know if you knew this, because I know when we first talked about this documentary just to each other, we were like, why is there a tease of 3 episodes and then 2 episodes next year? I thought they were just doing that as a...
Me too.
As a like teaser thing. But it's because... not really a spoiler because this segment is called She's Dead Too. what happened was a lot of people didn't come forward when they were first doing the documentary because the documentary was going to be coming out with her living, but she...
I think it was supposed to come out like right after she died.
So that's what happened. It was going to be coming out kind of at this, like around this similar time in this year, but she passed away this year unexpectedly. So what happened was a lot of people are now coming forward with more stories, kind of not being in fear of pushback from her or just kind of ramification from the church or anything like that. Now they feel a little bit more freer to share them.
Yeah, it's interesting because I mean, I remember when she and her husband and some other people like died in this plane crash. And I remember like people messaging it to us at the time. And I was like, what's this? Who's this? Like, what's her hair? And I was just like, I can't with this right now. But now with the documentary coming out, it's all just like, I'm like, oh, that's what that was. And this is like really creepy and weird.
It very, very weird. And also I was like, this is also one I didn't know about this case at all, or like this woman at all.
I didn't know about it either. And like for her to have allegedly been such a sensation in like the diet world is interesting. Cause I'm like, I didn't hear about that. I don't think at least I know why my mom never did this diet is because
Well, that's the biggest of all, because I was someone, I have grown up, I have Googled every diet. I am always, always dieting. I'll be checking out Slim Fast. I'm on WW. I'm shocked I did not stumble on the way down. I am honestly, genuinely shocked that I was not kind of just saying like, and I prayed, and now these jeans I don't wear anymore, because that's what so many people were just bringing their old jeans. And I'm like, this is a weird moment.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about the actual diet. We could have a diet search tomorrow crossover,
they honestly should do an episode on that, because this is truly peak toxic diet culture. Because
parts of it, like initially I'm like, yeah, some of that is fine advice that I've heard before. And then, but it gets to a point where it's like, oh, this is just like anorexia Jesus. Oh. Like, what even is this?
Which, by the way, is that, if that's not a Lana Del Rey song, it needs to be now.
Oh my God, anorexia, I'll write her.
Okay. So a little bit, just in case you guys are like, we don't know who the F you guys are talking about. So this, Gwen was born February 18th in 1955 in Memphis, Tennessee. I do love Memphis. Shout out to anybody listening in Memphis. I have visited there a few times. She went to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville for a degree in dietetics. I think it's pronounced that.
Yeah.
It's studying diets.
I didn't know that was a degree.
I did not know either. Well, I think back then that really tracks for a disease, because I feel like now it's kind of just more lumped in with like biology and things like that.
I mean, yeah, it seems like now you have,
physical therapy, kind of, or like health sciences.
You can be like a registered dietitian.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
So she became like Sarah said, she became a registered dietitian after this.
There we go.
Worked for, but here's the gag. Like, she worked for the Tennessee Department of Health for 5 years. So she was putting her degree to work and all this stuff. But what happened while she was in college and a little bit at this time is that she did struggle a lot with her weight, which I feel like, I mean, I'm not Freud, but it is interesting that someone who struggled with their weight is studying this. I feel you, girl. If there was a diet class that I could have taken, I would have definitely done that. But this is sort of what caused her to get so into diet culture and kind of like the world around it.
Mm-hmm. It was also like, what, the 80s? Yeah. Oh. That's like, that's peak diet culture right there.
It's everybody just like, and it's like when you would do like strap like an, like this burning hot metal around your body to like burn abs and stuff like that.
The craziest shit.
It's like, and if you think Cool Sculpting's fucking crazy, imagine what they did in lieu of Cool Sculpting back in the 80s. Like, it's really insane. So
it's nuts.
Yeah. So she sort of kind of started this whole world through this and community after becoming like a diet expert, diet pro. And she started it with this program called The Way Down. And way is spelled W-E-I-G-H, the doy, as she would claim it.
Yes. But the documentary is W-A-Y. So just keep that in mind when you're doing your little search bar.
When you're searching. Yeah, when you're searching for it. Hopefully, I always just do voice search for my Apple TV.
Ooh, that's real. I'm like toiling away doing one letter at a time.
I don't have the time for that. My hands
like,
are
right. E.
You're like playing Squid Game. Yeah. So there we go. She started this workshop and it built a following, because I mean, and here's also the thing though. I, again, tempted me even when I was reading it, even though I know it's flawed, because it was kind of this thing where it was both like nothing new in terms of like groundbreaking science behind it. But then also the only newness came from the faith elements of it.
Yeah.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so basically it was a faith-based weight loss program, and it was started in 1986. And I mean, here's the thing. It sounds like everybody's dream diet, right? Because there's no food restrictions, no exercise requirements, no calorie counting. In fact, according to this like old-ass article from 1996, Don't come for me, anybody. I'm like, don't. I know what I said there, but she actually, they wouldn't even encourage exercise. They would say like, you should only really exercise if you want to. And if it's like bringing you joy, but you should really just focus on like getting in touch with your body.
The only squat you should do is when you squat down to your knees to pray. Like truly.
Pretty much. Oh my God. That gave me big Lula Rich energy.
Oh.
Cause I feel like Deanne said something very similar.
Very.
These ladies would have gotten along.
They would have worn those leggings around town, not counting any calories. But also it's a thing too, where I feel, well, it's actually interesting you say that too. Because I feel they did have overarching, this cult gave me an MLM mindset, because it's the way it presented itself did come for, it lended itself to the same people who would be susceptible to an MLM, because it's like, are you busy with work and your kids and stuff like that? You don't really have time to do other stuff. And just like, and like where MLM would be like, here's a side hustle where you could make some extra money. Here's this really, really easy diet plan that you can do. And it just is no That's real true. Lifestyle change that would have people that are also looking for a sense of a community, because they have the church element that did kind of lend itself to being a grouping with that.
Yeah, I think that's true. Also, anyone who has bought into a weight loss MLM would be like 100%, like the Venn diagram is a circle, because it's the same people who it's like, oh, do you want like a quick weight loss fix? And it's like, sure, you're going to drink this pink drink every day, and what's in it? We don't know. We can't tell you.
But no one knows. Yeah, you're like, is this what does it do? It probably just makes you poop, but
yeah,
9 times out of 10.
Seriously, I think that's the thing with like most of these like diet pills, like drinks, the tea and everything. I think best case scenario, it does nothing. Worst case scenario, I think it's like making you shit your brains out. Or like giving you heart palpitations or something.
Again, it's like the fucking case breakers. You need a separate room and 2 bathrooms to do these diets correctly. You can't do these in New York City apartments.
Oh my God. Seriously. But so Gwen wrote about this program in 1997. She wrote a book called The Way Down Diet. And she writes, what I do in this program is teach people how to stop bowing down to the refrigerator and how to bow back down to Him with a capital H, because she's talking about God.
Church, preach. And what shocked me in the doc is that I'm like, this wasn't the only book that was like pairing diet with faith. Do you know what I mean? I've never heard this as a large parallel or like a combo thing before, a combo meal, if you will.
I guess that's true. Like, yeah, I feel like religion and thinness don't seem to need to mix for any real reason.
It doesn't. But she had really interesting theories about how thinness does come into play with religion.
Well, I mean, have you seen a crucifix? Jesus was ripped.
I mean, if you try to stigmata, if like, I aioli would come out of my hands. You know what I mean? It would not be blood at first. It would be Chipotle, so aioli. Funny. And I would just be like,
that's so funny.
Well, God, here I am.
Oh my God. That's so funny. But so basically, like Gwen would say, if people would lose weight and then gain weight is because they weren't listening to God / her. And I don't know, this is like super fucking problematic, because like she straight up believed if you're thin, you are right with God.
Oof, child. Like what?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Doesn't she know magazines just subtly say that?
Yeah, seriously. It's kind of almost bizarre to me to like have a church be so fixated on like someone's weight and how they look. I don't know. Isn't the whole thing that you're all created in God's image and everybody should be happy and whatnot? But I mean, well, I know it doesn't work that way in practice, especially with cults.
Exactly.
They're hyper-focused on appearance.
And what's so hard about this too is that the ideology that, like, because it's like, obviously so many people, you obviously know, like, religion gets passed down from their parents to the kids, but now a fucking diet religion does, where it's like,
yeah,
the parents are saying, because that comes into play so much with the parents, where it's like,
oh yeah,
they are, how to react to your kids, and if you think thin means they're closer to God, he's fucking starving your kids. They do a lot more with their kids, which we can get into later, but it just adds a lot more to the levels.
Yeah, really, it's really disturbing. And basically, if people fluctuated weight, or if they didn't lose weight, they were not in God's good graces. So, you know, they're on the way down.
I mean, I did appreciate that pun of hers.
It's a good one, honestly.
So, you know, hats off. That's a massive degree.
Yeah, and I feel like part of the diet too was like, part of it made sense. Like some of the articles were just like, instead of snacking, like drink a glass of water before your meal, mm-hmm. and like learn your hunger signals and wait until you're actually hungry to like eat, which is like, I think that's kind of what intuitive eating is. And then it's like, oh, but if you want something, just eat it. And like, don't worry about if it's bad for you, don't eat diet foods. Like don't. And the 90s were big on this, like no fat, low fat craze.
Oh, God.
It just meant that they pumped it full of like fake shit.
And also like the fucking Atkins diet where you're just mainlining burgers.
Right. Like burgers in between bacon.
It's like, essentially it was baby keto.
It was. And then what was another thing that they talked about in the diet? It was like, if you have a bunch of things on your plate, like eat the thing that you like the most first.
Yeah.
So then you don't fill up on the stuff that you don't like as much and you want to save your last thing to the end. Like, I don't know. I think this is all like diet advice, this is all like fine advice for like intuitive eating and stuff. In my opinion, I'm not like an expert, but
no, I know what you mean. It's advice that comes from there are factual things to back up or reasonings to back that up in a way that actually could be beneficial. And because there's also points too where it's like, I feel sometimes, and I don't mean also like I grew up at the time where I would read myself a Cosmo and a 17, and maybe this could be me being brainwashed, but when they would be like, oh, if you think you're maybe hungry but you just ate, you might not be hungry, you might be bored, like go walk or go read a book or something like that. That's kind of what she would say sometimes with the prank. Who knows if that's actually, I could be brainwashed too.
I know it's technically true, but honestly, I'm thinking about eating constantly. So that's it. I won't read a book. I'm just going to eat a snack. I don't care.
The way I was eating until this Zoom started, and I'm shocked. Because I
literally had a cookie like right before.
Because I love our listeners, I'm not going to eat on mic, but it's the thought is there.
We do it for you guys. So then like Gwen kind of would always say she was under God's authority. And I think because she was married to a member of the clergy.
That was the actor later on. Joe Lara.
Her first husband, what I think was a member of the clergy. So I think that was how this whole church thing got started. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. So it kind of what situated is that obviously this was picking up a lot like wildfire. A lot of people were getting into it. And you could tell, I feel it's almost like all so many like cults or just things like that, where it's like, oh my God, we're just all this, like, we're just here together. We're all bonding. We're all doing it, but it's a business. And that is what they don't show you outwardly. But the article you sent me that was super interesting was this woman who started to work for Gwen because she started working for her because she just believed in it, believed in the message, believed in everything. She realized that she was like, oh, this is like this quote unquote ministry that I thought I was joining was most definitely a business that was most definitely pushing products. Like just trying to get
into
consumers. Yeah,
people would call up and then she'd be like, well, have you bought our new book?
Yeah, it's like, oh, what? I just want to pray. And she'd be like, doesn't matter if they call every day or not. You had to tell them like, oh, there's this new CD out where Gwen speaks to you, or this new DVD or something like that. So just really kind of like trying to not brainwash, but just force people like, these are the only options you could do. And also if you want to, in a not so subtle way, but in a way being like, if you want to continue on this ride, you got to start buying because that's how you can connect and everything like that.
And then at the same time, like she was going on Larry King and all this stuff and doing like press tours. And she was saying, oh, well, half the money goes to the church and half the money goes back into the way down. And the press was like, so you mean to say that you take zero money? And she was like, yeah. They were like, well, what about this like $1 million or even more expensive like house that you just bought? And like she would just lie and then just like not address her lies.
No, exactly. Yeah, she's like, the government gets it, then the church gets it, and then I'm left.
The government, that's what it was. And it's like, first of all, the government doesn't take half, like relax.
No. Or unless you're paying them off. I'm like, baby girl, what is going on here? But yeah, that's the thing. Like she had a very extravagant
lifestyle. I'm like, you're too rich for the government to take half your money in taxes. You're not paying that much taxes.
You're like, girl, no, you get the best break of all. So it just kept on growing, which was so interesting. And it is funny, too, that it's like this word travels fast. And it does, because they also did, they would have these retreats and things set up where people would show weight loss. Like, they would show, like, that they said that it was very, like, useful and helped them out. Like, there would be people, like, holding up pants that they lost 100 pounds and now they're, like, the pants are double the size of them, everything like that. And it took it to an even more level, a higher level, like, during the 90s when she started a 12-week seminar guided by her with the Bellevue Baptist Church, and the program got popular. And the program also started to spiral outside of the U.S., which I kind of was like, how is it? I guess that's mass publication. But
yeah, that is the influence of Christianity, yeah. I guess.
I guess that is how churches spread, religion spread.
Yeah.
They would just use, instead of, I guess you can't really use art history paintings anymore, so they would just use workout DVDs. So it burst out of Tennessee and reportedly moved to Europe. So also, at this point, 600 churches in 35 states in the mid-90s were doing her program. Cut to 1 year later, double that. It was about I think like 46 states with 1,000 churches participating.
Oh my God, that's almost every state.
That's literally almost every state.
That is scary.
I think like Prêt à Manger does not even have that power. So by 1998, Way Down Workshops hosted more than 21,000 classes and had over 250,000 active members.
Sheesh.
That's a lot of people. So
that is wild.
And that's when the program started to get super successful. She got a little cocky with Christ and opened up her own damn church. So she founded the Remnant Fellowship Church in 1999, was based in Brentwood, Tennessee. And she says that people doing... like, also, it's like she would be like, if you start to go to other churches and not mine, you'll probably gain your weight back. I don't know if it's because they use like donuts for the Eucharist or something like that. But that was her claim.
Point me to that church.
Honestly, hit me up with that. Yeah, so then she made her own freaking church.
Probably because she's paying too much in taxes.
Can I tell you something?
What?
Probably. That's actually...
Probably.
That actually is the most genius tax write-off. And... what's probably crazy too is whenever somebody tried to not diminish, but poke holes or try to bring this down, nothing would bring it down.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what to say. The hair would get bigger and it was fortifying the church. And it would get bigger with her lies. Like, I don't know.
And you know what's really interesting? Because I was wondering this while I was watching. I'm like, how... because almost, I mean, obviously not every single cult is known, but cults that with over 250, and like that was in 98. So by now, I'm sure a lot of people still, like, how was it not so known and going under the radar? Because you have like people calling out all these other cults that are bad and everything like that. And I wonder if it's because it's like she played the game where it's like no one died, like, you know what I mean? No, like she wasn't like forcing any, like doing anything extra, but just kind of like manipulating. Because I feel her end goal was power and just kind of like the notoriety of it while getting everyone's money.
Yeah. I mean, what I don't get is most cults, like, you have to be physically isolated, because if you come into contact with other people who are not in the cult, they're going to make you question everything that you're being told. So, I mean, but this was like, you know, a church, like you could come and you can go.
I feel, well, that's also, I think, the very interesting thing about it. It was so integrated into their daily life, but it wasn't their everyday, like, it wasn't, people would still, like, go to work, go to school and stuff like that.
Right, exactly. Which is what's weird to me.
I know. And I guess it's just one of those things people, like, you just, like, oh, you go to that church, I go to this church. And they're just going to be, like, I don't know why anyone would be, like, we don't do any of that at our church. We're not holding up jeans.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're praying, yeah.
I mean, there was also some dark stuff like going on in the church too.
There was definitely some darkness and kind of like what we touched on, where there were a lot of topics with like how to raise kids, how to treat kids. And
which I feel like always comes up in our cult discussions. Like, I feel like cults and child abuse tend to go hand in hand.
They really do. Because I think it's just a thing where it's like, the control and manipulation of power. And I always wonder too, if it's like the leaders want to make sure your unconditional love for your kid will never triumph your love for me or your need.
Yeah, I can
me.
See that.
Yeah.
So basically, like in the documentary in The Way Down, they talk about basically like how they would discipline children. And in the documentary, ex-members allege a culture where parents were told to hit their misbehaving children with glue sticks and belts.
Like
the glue sticks, they're long glue sticks, but I was still really confused about that.
I was confused too. And I also was just like, why is a church telling people to hit kids? Like,
I don't know.
Just really is so bananas.
I mean, to the remnant church's credit, like, they posted on their site that all of the claims in the documentary are false and defamatory, and they, you know, tell everybody to love kids and they would never blah, blah, blah. So
they would never. That's
they would never do that, of course. But basically, they ended up in the news. This was in 2003 because these two parents were convicted of killing their 8-year-old son. And it was Joseph and Sonia Smith, who were members of the church. They basically were convicted of beating their son, Joseph. They locked him in a wooden box and confined him to a closet for hours at a time. Oh. He died in October 2003 via a blow to the head, but he was also covered in bruises. The church maintains that he died as a result of an infection related to eczema.
You know how common the death via eczema is.
Right. But when he was asked, the dad said that he did hit the boy 4 or 5 times, and he needed to discipline Joseph because he was a soldier of the devil and carved death threats on the walls.
Which, not a reason to, he probably was just drawing with Crayola on the wall. You know what I mean? He's a fucking kid.
Yeah, I mean, well, what was interesting was that this is crazy because I was watching this in the documentary, and I had deja vu because they did this exact story in a Law and Order episode.
Really?
Law and Order always comes through.
Oh, with the rip from the headlines.
It was seriously, I was like, I literally watched this episode. But the parents were, I think, foster parents. And they had, I think, adopted one boy before who also died in their custody. And then this was this, I believe he was the second. And I think they talked about this in the documentary. But so Joseph's parents said that he passed out and never regained consciousness after the family gathered in the kitchen for a prayer session with the church online. Like, sure.
Which I didn't even know they had online churches in 2003.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they were ahead of the time, I guess.
That's some dialogue.
But authorities raided the church. The police were never really able to build a solid connection between the church and Joseph's death. So the church wasn't really punished in that regard. But the parents were, were charged with murder in Georgia. This I thought was actually pretty weird. I read about it a few times. The trial, I think, took place, or the closing arguments maybe were like what would have been Joseph's 12th birthday. And the prosecutor saying happy birthday to him.
That's just like very,
I think that's weird. I'm like,
I guess it's like to tug on the heartstrings, but it really is just,
yeah,
like
that's fucking manipulative and a little bit slimy in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
But in any case, I mean, the parents again maintained their innocence. They appealed. It was shot down, but they were convicted on March 27, 2007. They were sentenced to life plus 30 years in prison, which is the maximum punishment. And like I said, on their website, also, you can go, which is so funny. There's this whole section of their response on the documentary. Part of it is about the child abuse, which they absolutely don't do, would never encourage. And then part of it is about the Smiths, who they maintain are innocent. And I think if you want to learn more, you can go to a website called something like thesmithsareinnocent.com.
Yeah, if you feel
go to the Remnant Church's website and you'll find it all. And I don't know, I guess almost to the church's credit, like they did fund their they tried to fund their legal appeals and like do fundraising for the family.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite is even the couple's lawyer was like, why do they
I actually, I know, because from other anecdotes from former members, when people would get in trouble or leave the church or find themselves in vulnerable situations, the church would, or Gwen, honestly, would just be really like vindictive. Like one woman had a sort of like nervous breakdown and she ended up in the hospital or a psychiatric hospital. She called Gwen, I guess, to try to get her out of there. And they were just like, you're going to rot in hell.
I know. I wonder if it almost was kind of like they were doing it from a PR standpoint to be like, well, we're the church. We just love, you know, we love all of our people type of stuff.
Or
like
they
that.
Didn't want, they didn't want to be like associated with the death.
Very true. And just to let you all know, Joseph and Sonia are still in jail. But kind of, yeah. So, I mean, it is a very interesting, weird ending for the cult and everything like that, because this documentary obviously came out this month. The second part's going to come out in the early 2022. But I mean,
yeah, that's going to be interesting
because that's going to be all these people more coming forward and stuff like that too, which will be very fascinating. So I'm excited to do a part two of this one. But Gwen, her story, it's over because she, on May 29th of this year, she died at the age of 66. She was in a small plane crash, like a private plane, with her husband, actor Joe Lara, and other church leaders. Someone reported saying that the plane literally like just nosedived down, straight shoot. People were,
I think, right after it took off.
Right
like
after
it, yeah. It was on the ground.
There was just no, and there was a few other people on the flight. And it was kind of, I mean, I guess that's, you have to address it. It was like, because it was the first kickoff of the documentary too.
Yeah, because they, I mean, they were like trying to get her
to talk. Yeah.
It didn't seem like they were like trying that hard. Like they were writing letters, but they also, they knew that nobody from the church was going to agree to sit down with them. And that seems like a good assumption. Like, you know,
no, exactly. Yeah. But I guess that is, that's changing now apparently. So we'll see who does end up coming forward.
Right. I think they're getting like more members, but yeah. I they're not going to get
any behind.
Like,
the...
I don't think the kids or whoever, like anybody high, high up.
No,
I yeah, doubt I so. To respond.
No. But I know, but
I don't know. I mean, there was so much too, like with the woman who had a kid with Joe, who was like fighting for the custody battle.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
that's it's wild.
There were a lot of like sad stories from it, where I just feel like this really, this cult really, and I mean, it's almost that thing too, because you were saying, and we were talking about how like they were, it was a cult that they were really also in their everyday life, but you can kind of see the ramifications of that is that like so many additional people's lives were kind of like messed up or like kind of like,
oh yeah, so many kids were like fucked up.
Yeah.
That like a lot, like I don't know, there were a lot of like just mental health problems and like among like pretty young children who should be having like a carefree childhood, you know.
Yeah. Ugh, it's hard.
Yikes, fucked up. It's so weird because like, I don't know, this weird anorexia diet is like problematic enough. And then they made it more problematic by making it a like psycho cult.
A psycho cult like that obsessed your everyday life and also took something like religion that people would run to and cling to or use for understanding of themselves, understanding the world and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And then taking it and manipulating it to control them.
So weird. But what's not weird?
Well, we don't know.
Actually, I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. It's Jorge's game.
Hey, friends.
Hey, hey.
Hello.
So, as you both covered today, Gwen Shamblin had hair that seemed to defy the laws of physics, truly. So today, we're going to play a game called Big Hair Don't Care.
Ooh.
Love it.
Love it. I thought it was going to be about physics, and I was like, fuck.
I thought it was going to be about diets, so I'm glad.
So this is how it's going to work. I'm going to secretly pick a celebrity that is known for their iconic hair or had like a very recognizable hairstyle. And you will both ask me questions to try to find out what my identity is. All right.
Oh, okay. It's like, okay.
So it's like 20 questions, yes or no questions, but there's no turns. So if you think of a question, ask it, and the first person to figure out who I am will get the point.
Okay.
All right. I have my first person. Go ahead.
Okay. Are you male or female?
Female.
Are you a TV star?
No.
Does it have to be yes or no questions?
I think so.
Yeah. But like okay. this or that also works.
Okay. Are you a singer?
Not a singer.
I'm out of ideas.
Are you a movie star?
Not a movie star.
Oh, are you a cleaning product?
No.
Wait, that's Mr. Cleaning's fault. Fuck this up. Are you an animated character?
Not animated.
Are you a fictional character?
Not fictional. Real.
Do you exist? Okay, I'm confused. So you're not an actor. You're not a singer.
Are you American?
I am not American.
Okay.
I'll give you a little hint. I am British.
Mm.
Are you a sports player?
Not a sports player.
I don't even know what that word is. Are you a politician?
Not a politician, but you could say that maybe you could consider me part of the state.
I feel like we're out of types of public figures. I'm not going to lie.
You're part of the state.
The state.
Are you alive currently?
I am dead.
Did you die in the 20th century?
Yes. In the 1900s.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait, and these are people who had weird hair?
Iconic hair.
Iconic hair. Are you a former, like, monarch?
Yes.
Which king of England had weird hair?
Well, in line for monarch.
Oh, are you a woman?
I am.
Are you Princess Diana?
I am Princess Diana. Yay! Well done, okay. Danny.
Hmm. Okay.
Your candle blew out long before. It was like just her birthday or death. Actually,
yeah. Sad for Diana. All right. Danny has a point. I have my next celebrity. Go ahead.
Hmm. Are you male?
I am male.
Okay. Are you a comedian?
Not a comedian, but a lot of people have laughed at me.
Oh, wait, no. Okay.
You can go with that.
Okay. Are you a politician?
Not a politician.
What color is your hair?
Blonde.
I'm like, are you Brett Michaels? This is all I could think of.
Oh my God. Wait, are you?
My hair is kind of similar to Brett Michaels.
Are you Hulk Hogan?
That. Not Hulk Hogan.
Are you Bon Jovi?
Not Bon Jovi.
God damn it. Rod Stewart?
Not Rod Stewart. I am not a performer celebrity. Okay.
Oh, but people laugh at you. Are you Trump?
Not Trump.
Damn it.
Are you a business person?
You could say that. You could say that. But it was not because of my business that I became famous. It was because of a TV show that I became famous.
Are you on The Apprentice?
Not The Apprentice.
Is the TV show on air still?
The first season came out last year, and there is a second season.
Oh, Tiger Joe Exotic.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, man.
Well done, Danny.
Not a big emphasis, yeah.
Killing it.
Hey, he did run for something.
That's true.
That's true. He did run for something. That's true. And he is a businessman, right?
I mean, he ran it into the ground, but yeah.
All right. Next up, and I'll give you a hint to start. I won a Nobel Prize.
Well, let me.
Why does my brain want to say Elton John? Because I know that can't be it.
Did he win a Nobel Prize?
I don't know. He could.
Oh, he should. Is it Einstein?
That is correct, Danny. Wow.
Nice! Oh my God, Danny's cleaning up.
I was just like, who the fuck has it? And then I just only pictured
right. The iconic Einstein hair. Wow. Oh, well done, Danny. All right, just a couple more to go. I'll give you a hint for this one too. I have a famous daughter as well.
Are you and your daughter famous for the same thing?
No, we are not.
Okay.
Are you an actress or actor?
I am not either of those things.
Okay.
Are you a singer?
Yes. Musician.
Are you male or female?
Male.
Everybody I'm thinking of is bald.
I know. I want to say the Sinatras, but I don't know if Frank Sinatra is like famous for
his hair. I want to say Phil Collins.
No one knows.
Is it Steven Tyler?
Not Steven Tyler.
But come on.
You're kind of close.
Ozzy Osbourne?
Not Ozzy Osbourne.
Do you rock music?
Rock music. That is, yes, correct.
Are you alive?
I am alive.
Okay. Are you in a band or are you a solo?
Solo. But I play with a band, but... You know, I'm known as myself.
Are you Sting?
Not Sting.
Bruce Springsteen? No. I don't know who his kids are.
No.
Oh, the girl was in the, she did the horse thing in the Olympics.
Okay, my daughter is an actress.
I feel like I guessed everybody.
Is she a well-known actress?
Pretty well-known, yeah.
Are you more well-known than her?
I am, yes. But I'm a little bit past my prime, you know?
Okay. Does she act in TV?
A very famous HBO show she was in that also had Meryl Streep in it.
Like, oh, Lenny Kidman.
Kravitz. That is correct, Danny. Yes. It was Lenny Kravitz. Nice.
Oh,
his iconic hair.
I mean, his iconic Google, his pants ripping people. That's your game.
All right. We have one more. To see if Danny can get the clean sweep.
I have faith in you.
Faith in you.
And I will start by saying that I am in the world of fashion.
Fashion?
Fashion. Okay.
The way I just know Gap. Like, I don't know.
Who the fuck has hair? Karl Lagerfeld?
Oh.
That is incorrect.
Okay. Are you a model or a designer?
Neither.
Okay.
Are you a photographer?
Not a photographer.
Are you Christian Siriano?
That is incorrect.
Do you have, okay. Is your fashion designer?
What's that?
Is it like luxury designer brand?
It is not. I am not in, I don't sell fashion articles, but I do kind of sell fashion articles in a sense.
I'm
are
so
you,
confused.
Are you mainly famous for fashion?
Yes, definitely.
Do you do fashion on TV?
Not on TV.
Movies?
A type of media, not movies.
Are you an influencer?
Not an influencer.
Like digital? Are you do? Is it a fashion podcast?
It is not a fashion podcast.
Okay. Is your brand currently at its peak, or has it peaked before?
I would say it's been like at the peak for a long time. It's very, very well established. Remember, I don't sell clothes.
Oh, yeah.
But I do sell articles in a way.
Like, so are you a fashion journalist?
Getting closer.
Are you a fashion columnist?
Bigger.
A critic?
Oh, are you Anna Wintour?
That is correct, Danny. Yes. With the clean sweep.
Oh, my God. She's not known for her hair. Give me a break.
No, she is. The bob.
The iconic bob that she's had for her entire life.
Fine.
The way I was like, who runs Gap?
I'm like, what other jobs in fashion are there besides model and designer?
Like, you said that, I was like, fuck. I was like,
yeah. I was like, oh.
Literally your job, Sarah.
I don't work in fashion.
I know, but you're an editor.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true. If only I could plan the Met Gala. We'd have better themes.
You guys had your own, you had a meme gala. You guys can
that was
you
so
guys should
fun.
Do another one of that.
We should.
Well, Danny, you are the winner of Big Hair Don't Care by 5-0. Wow.
Wow.
A shutout. And the two true shutout.
The two people I really thought were going to be named weren't named, Jennifer Aniston and Dolly Parton.
Oh, I thought about Dolly Parton. Jennifer Aniston, yeah, I guess that was another good one.
Like, that Rachel.
Yeah, the Rachel. Right, you're right. You're right.
Iconic.
Iconic.
All right. Well, thank you, Jorge. Absolutely. This was demoralizing. No, it's definitely a great time.
We'll get him next time.
You probably will. Sarah. We'll do one about physics next time.
Yeah.
So we can both just answer none.
Oh my God, literally a shout out on both sides.
But I mean, thank you guys for listening too. And if you have thoughts on the documentary, be sure to join Not Another True Crime group, because it's popping off over there. everyone's talking a lot of talk over there, which is a lot of fun. And
it is so much fun.
So much fun. And you can follow the Instagram account, Not Another True Crime. We love it there.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can also follow me on Instagram, Sarah Lameem.
And you can follow me at Kashmir Danny, Kashmir with a K.
And as always, we thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.